This weekend, President Trump made the announcement in the Rose Garden of the White House that Amy Coney Barrett would be his choice to go to the United States Supreme Court. So she begins a pretty long journey here over the next few weeks with individual meetings with members of the U.S. Senate. And then it appears that there will be some sort of confirmation hearing that I think will last, if I'm reading this right, 3-4 days. And then presumably there will be a vote that I suspect will be along party lines to advance her to the full United States Senate. And then the senators will cast votes on whether she goes to the Supreme Court. And that appears to be likely along party lines as well. And, you know, you have someone like Amy Coney Barrett who is relatively young. She seems very presentable. I don't know that there's anything remarkably controversial about her other than the general disagreements that we seem to have based on how the different political parties see some of the major issues in the country. But one thing that is being floated is whether she'll have to answer for her Catholic faith. And this discussion isn't unique. I mean, you go back to John Kennedy running for president, there were a lot of Protestants who questioned whether President Kennedy, if he was in the White House, whether he would be a puppet of the Pope. And that seemed to be a very offensive suggestion at the time. So why is it not offensive to suggest that now? Or that Amy Coney Barrett will be a puppet of Catholic theology, right? Bradley Lewis is an associate professor at the School of Philosophy at Catholic University of America. And Professor Lewis, I really appreciate you coming on. This is kind of playing with fire to have a conversation. What do they say? Don't talk about religion and don't talk about politics if you want to have friends. We're going to bring them both together to talk about this. What's your initial reaction to the setup that I just gave you about what this lady faces here coming up?
Well, I think it's accurate. I mean, we'll have to see what kind of questions the senators are particularly concerned with when the confirmation hearings begin. There were, you know, questions that did touch on this issue of her Catholic faith when she was nominated to be an appellate court judge. And some of those were very, you know, difficult moments. And it may be that some of the senators, because of that experience, you know, maybe they'll back off from that and they'll focus on other things. I don't know.
When I put this in the historical context of John Kennedy, it doesn't sound to me like they're saying Amy Coney Barrett is going to get a phone call from Rome and the Pope is going to say, if you want to be a good Catholic and go to heaven, you must do as I tell you to do. But that it'll be more of whether she's going to follow the laws of the United States when those laws are... And when the Constitution may be at odds with Catholic teaching. Is it your observation that that happens very often? It seems to be a debate within the Catholic Church right now over abortion in particular, whether the sanctity of life that many Catholics believe in very deeply should be carved out separately as your personal faith, but when it comes to your public life as an elected official, you just have to go a different direction.
Yeah, well, of course, that is a very controversial issue. I think there's a couple of things here. One, obviously, I think it should be fairly obvious, the notion that, you know, the Pope calls people on the phone. Certainly the Pope didn't call John Kennedy when he was a president, or that Catholic judges, or even Supreme Court justices are sitting around thinking, you know, what would the Pope want me to do in this particular case? I mean, that really doesn't happen and shouldn't happen. I mean, I don't know how aware people are of the fact that I think 5 of the current justices in Supreme Court right now are Catholic already. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody thinks that this happens with any of them. But the other issue, the larger issue, is what the obligations of Catholics who serve in public office are, given the unambiguous teachings of the Catholic Church about abortion in particular. And there, I think it's really important to distinguish between the different functions of different officials within the government. It's one thing if you're a legislator and you're involved in making laws you know, voting on things that actually will be laws, and you think, for example, that abortion should be a crime, or that it simply shouldn't take place, it should be illegal for that to happen, and you might participate in a vote in Congress or state legislature or whatever about that issue, and you've got firm convictions that abortion is wrong. It's wrong because it's simply immoral for an innocent human life to be intentionally taken. And I think that the church's view is that public officials, you know, they, when they vote on things like that, they vote on what they think is true, and that includes positions that they hold about morality. A judge, on the other hand, you know, operates in a much more restricted sphere. Judges are supposed to make decisions about what the law is, not what they would like it to be. And they have to apply the law as it is. And so judges have very restricted latitude in that respect. And just Judge Barrett, when she was being confirmed for the appellate bench, said, look, I'm bound by the precedents of the courts that are superior to mine. That is, the precedents of the court in my own circuit and the precedents set by the U.S. Supreme Court. It's not up to me to make up the law. I have to apply the law as it's written and as the courts have said that it should be interpreted. Now, the Supreme Court has a little more leeway in that respect, but it's still the case that they are applying the laws as they are. They don't just get to make it up.
I also wanted to ask your reaction to an observation that I heard several times this weekend from people of faith, you know, Franklin Graham and a number of other high-profile Protestant pastors led a rally in Washington on the National Mall. And one of the recurring themes was that people of faith, whether they're Protestant or Catholic, have been culturally, if not systematically, silenced or removed in large part from public dialogue. I don't think it's wrong to say that if you stand up and you're giving a speech as a candidate or as a judge and you start constantly referencing your faith, there are a lot of people who are immediately turned off by that. And I wasn't alive 50, 60 years ago to know whether that was the case in previous generations, but it does appear to me that it's less likely that you'll have people who speak publicly about their faith. Do you have any reaction to that cultural change in the United States? A, do you think I'm right in saying that, and these pastors are right in saying that, and is that the right way for us to go? Is this separation of church and state in the way we present ourselves in public?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is something to that. I certainly think, and I think it's true in a lot of our public life. I mean, it's just a lot more sort of intolerance generally, you know. I mean, a lot less a forbearance of people saying things that people find, for whatever reason, offensive. And I think in many cases that's caused people, especially religious people, to sort of tone down their own speech, to be very cautious because they don't, you know, want to face that. But I think in a pluralistic society, and that's what we have, I mean, we have no choice. I mean, the fact is this country is a pluralistic society religiously, and it always has been, and it's even more the case now. We have to be tolerant of one another, and certainly our constitutional tradition, you know, enshrines this kind of pluralism. You know, the Constitution is very clear: no religious tests are allowed for public office. And I think again during these hearings, you know, senators have to be wary of that. I mean, if you look like you're asking a question that implies you think it's wrong for someone with certain religious beliefs to be a judge, I think from a constitutional standpoint, that's very problematic. But I think in our larger public culture, we have to be more aware of the need to be generous in our discussions with other people who have different religious views than we do. That's the only way the American project is going to work.
Well, you know what? I'd love to have you back after we sit through the 3 or 4 days of Senate hearings, and let's see whether this becomes an issue or not. I'm hopeful it won't. I think it's legitimate to ask about someone's personal philosophy and how they see the world, to try to have an appreciation for that and, you know, for who is sitting in front of you. But I've got to believe that as we talk through this, both in this conversation and the national conversation, that there will be wise people who will back away from turning this into a religious litmus test. And you've kind of affirmed that for me. Bradley Lewis is an associate professor of philosophy at Catholic University of America. I really appreciate the chance to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure thing.